Good morning and welcome to our service for the 11th of July. Kate is away this week enjoying a well-deserved break and hopefully getting some rest and relaxation, although I suspect that the relaxation may be limited as she's with her grandson, but hopefully still having a very good time. And meanwhile, back at Bredsall and Morley and Smalley, we have visiting priests today, and hope that the services there will go well. But again, this is for those of you who are unable to join us in our regular services, and we're still providing these online services for you, although we will be taking a break in August, so apologies for that. If you rely on us, I'm sure that you'll be able to find somewhere else if you're not able to join us in one of our services in church. But before we go any further, let's sing our first hymn. It's Alleluia, Alleluia, hearts to heaven and voices raise. Although we've been able to come before God to praise him, we do come as marred individuals. We have our faults, our weaknesses, and the times when we've truly let others, God, and ourselves down. So in order to really benefit fully from being able to worship him, We also need to come to him to say we are sorry and to ask for his forgiveness. So let's join together in saying these words. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Forgiven by God, we can now truly bless the Lord. So these responses. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song will we praise our God. I know that not many of us really get up and dance. Some people like myself feel very embarrassed about trying to dance in public, just feel we can't do it. But someone who felt no inhibitions in his dancing was David. As you may know, we've been looking at Samuel this summer, and we've been following the story of David. And David is now truly king. And the story that we're going to hear today is when he brings the Ark of the Covenant from its temporary resting place into Jerusalem. And in doing so, he had no inhibitions about dancing, as we will hear. So let's hear that story now, read for us by Adrian.
Today's first reading is taken from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 5 and 12b to 19. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Bala Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of Hosts, which is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abadinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps, and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Hosts and distributed food among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Adrian. The second reading today also has dancing referred to, but in this case it's used in such a different way and can show some of the perils as well. So let's just hear now our New Testament reading from the Gospel of St. Mark.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. King Herod heard of the healings and other miracles, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but could not. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before Jane speaks to us today, let's now sing our second hymn. It's called God is Love. Let heaven adore him.
Thank you. Before I start today, I'd just like to say thank you to a vicar, actually, in Newcastle, whose notes I read and who gave me some ideas towards this sermon. A reminder that we're looking at the books of Samuel and we're following the story of King David. If you remember last week, David decided that Jerusalem was going to be his capital city, a city situated conveniently on the border between the northern and southern tribes of Israel, a city set on a hill and richly fortified, and a city where eventually the temple of God would be built. Today, we read the story about how King David made the decision to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And I'd like to start by asking us a couple of questions. First of all, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the Ark of the Covenant is nothing to do with Noah or animals. The word ark simply means box. And when the children of God were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, you remember with Moses, one of the things that God told them to do was to build a tabernacle. And this was a meeting place, a tent of meeting. And in this tent of meeting, they were to place the Ark of the Covenant. And very specific instructions were given about creating this ark. It was a box about a metre long and 2/3 of a metre in width and depth, about the size of a large cardboard box. It was made from acacia wood and overlaid with gold. It had a special covering, a golden lid, with two cherubims facing each other, their wings covering the box. And this was known as the mercy seat. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, amongst other things, were placed the tablets, the commandments that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai. And there was also a jar of manna, the food which God had sent to sustain the children of God as they wandered in the wilderness. So that's what the Ark of the Covenant was. The second question, what did the Ark of the Covenant signify to the children of God? Well, the Ark represented the visible presence of God. It was thought to be the place where God was, where God lived, where God showed his glory, his Shekinah glory. And the Ark went with them wherever they went. So, third question, what was the significance of David wanting to move the Ark to Jerusalem? Well, for many years, the Ark of the Covenant had been in obscurity. Maybe some people had even forgotten about it. King Saul certainly hadn't bothered. But David seemed to understand its significance to God's people. And he wanted to bring it into prominence, to bring God's presence to God's city. So in the reading, David decided to transport the ark from the house where it was, the house of Abinadab, to put it on a cart and take it to Jerusalem. David probably thought this was a great idea. He was going to give God a stylish ride by the Rolls Royce of its day. A cart would be relatively easy and quick. However, in the lectionary reading, it misses out, I think, what happens next. As I said, David arranged for the ark to be moved by this cart. And it had to go down a hill. And as it was going down the hill, there was a stumbling on the threshing floor. And a man called Uzzah, who was helping, reached out to stop the ark from falling over. And immediately, Uzzah was killed by God. He was struck down dead. Now, when I've read this story before, I've always thought what an awful thing to have happened. Why did God do this? It made David very angry, and I'd always agreed with him. But this time, I have done some research around the story, and I discovered that back in the book of Numbers, when the ark was built, when it was made for the first time, God expressly had forbidden that it should be touched at all, and that it should be, nor that it should be transported in any way other than by carrying it on the shoulders of some men from the tribe of Levi. You see, the ark had four gold rings at the corners, and through these gold rings, two poles were fixed so that it could be hoisted up to be carried. Now, David thought he was doing the right thing. He was trying out a new idea, and he was expecting that God would bless him for being creative. Sometimes we're like that, you know. Sometimes I'm like that anyway. I think of something that I might think will work, maybe in our church or for me in my own walk with God. And then I say, this is a good idea, God. Will you bless it? And really, it should be the other way around, shouldn't it? We should be saying, what is it, God, that you want to do? John Wesley once said, and I quote, it's not new things that we need, but new fire. How true that is. David was doing a good thing, he thought, but maybe not in the right way. The passage says that after this, David became afraid of the Lord. Remember, the ark was thought to be the visible presence of God. And on that day, in a tragic way, God had shown his holiness and his reaction to disobedience. It was a reminder to take God seriously. And none of us are immune from God's discipline. Well, because of this, the ark didn't make it to Jerusalem straight away. Instead, it was left at the house of a man called Obed-Edom, and it stayed with him for 3 months. This story about David and the ark is not just found in this book of Samuel, it's also found in the book of Chronicles. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 15, you'll see the same story, but in a different and longer, slightly longer form. And in that version, you will see that after the ark had been moved for the first time, David realised the mistake he'd made. He realised he hadn't done it God's way, and he wanted to rectify it, so he started again. And the ark was moved again, and this time it was moved by carrying it on the poles, on the shoulders of those from the tribe of Levi. And in the move, there was much joy and much noise. There were sacrifices made, a bull and a fattened calf. And David reacts with great joy and positivity. There's this huge parade, and the priests are there, the people are there. And David removes his outer garments, and he dances in an uninhibited way before God. Now, his wife, Michal, was disgusted that he should, in her eyes, demean himself like this. But, you know, David wasn't concerned about what others thought. He just wanted to worship God. He wasn't worried about doing the right thing or looking good. And maybe that's another lesson for us here. Not to be so restricted by what we think others might think of us. We can be free to worship God in whatever way is right for us. God is so wonderfully good that we can rejoice unashamedly in his presence. And so God's ark was brought to Jerusalem, the place which was to become a focus of worship for God's people. I don't know if you ever read the C.S. Lewis book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. There are four children who end up in the land of Narnia, and they meet a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who are telling them about Aslan. And Aslan in the story represents Jesus. And the Beavers tell the children, they say they don't think that anybody could stand before Aslan without their knees knocking because of the holy respect that he commands. And the children are worried because they know that Aslan sounds so awesome and they really want to meet him. But they want to know if he's safe. Mr. and Mrs. Beaver laugh and they say, of course he's not safe, but he's good. Our God is a holy God. He calls us to obedience, but he's a good God and he blesses us and wants us to rejoice with him. Amen.
Let us now join together in affirming our faith as we say together the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now Sheila will lead us in our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our churches in Bredsall, Morley and Smalley, knowing that we are privileged to worship freely in safety, Sunday by Sunday, when many Christians throughout the world are persecuted for their faith. May we and they know that your love always surrounds us. We give thanks for those who make our worship possible, either in person or online. We pray for Kate and Jeffrey, for Jane, Chris and Fran. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen them as they minister to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our broken world, for places where there is ongoing conflict, war, famine, flood, and other natural disasters. Now that all hope of finding anyone else alive has been abandoned, we continue to pray for all those whose lives have been devastated by the collapse of the tower blocks in Miami. We pray for the many relief agencies who had worked tirelessly to bring comfort and hope to those who were suffering whilst waiting for news of loved ones. And we pray for all those who lost their lives and for those who are now mourning their passing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have taught us that we are members of one another and that none of us lives for ourselves alone. We thank you for the communities of which we are part, for for those who share with us in our activities, and for all who serve its varied interests. Help us, as we have opportunity, to make our own contributions to our communities, and to learn to be good neighbours, that by love we may serve one another for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we continue to pray for all those affected by coronavirus and for a new determination to end the pandemic, which has brought with it so much fear, heartache, and suffering. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in leading us to areas of need, to families struggling to cope, and for giving us your courage and strength to bring transformation to those in distress. Lord, we entrust to your tender care all those who are ill or in pain, knowing that whenever danger threatens, your everlasting arms are there to hold them safe. Be with them in their suffering and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those whose lives have been shattered by the death of a loved one. Be with them in their loneliness and comfort them in their sorrow. Grant them freedom from resentment, the strength and courage to seek your will in their new situations, and the faith to look beyond their recent distress to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who conquered death and who now lives for evermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, whose grace is sufficient for all our needs, lift us, we beseech you, above the doubts and anxieties of the present time, into the calm of your presence, that guarded by your peace, we may serve you without fear all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Drawing all our prayers together, we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We're coming to the end of our service together this morning. And before we close, let's sing our final hymn together. And Can It Be?
Thank you.
So may the Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life. Amen. We say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.